Please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. Luke chapter 6, verse 43 through 45. And it reads, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks."
Good morning. Welcome our guests this morning. I'm glad that you're with us. Hope that you'll come back and be us again. We're going to be looking at some subjects for this month about change. This time of the year, a lot of people are recommitting their lives, thinking about things that we can do to make our lives better. This morning, we look at purifying our hearts. What's it mean to be pure at heart? What do we need to change? What is it that is our heart? Well, most people follow their hearts. Today, you hear that, you turn on the radio, you hear, follow your heart. You watch movies, they say, just to follow your heart. Turn on a TV show, you hear that being about following your heart, but there's a problem with that, isn't there? The heart can be very deceitful, the scriptures say. Unless your heart is filled with Christ and filled with his word, and Jeremiah 31 gives a prophecy of the new covenant that on the hearts of Christians and believers will be God's law, his word. That's what we want on our hearts. However, when most people talk about their hearts today, they talk about what I desire, what I want, what I see best. And they rationalize the way that they do things. Everything they do in their life is about how their heart has directed them. Well, I must follow my heart. It can't lead me wrong. And then they find out otherwise. They find out the things that can happen because of their heart. So we want to think about this morning, how can I change my heart? What does the Bible talk about purifying our hearts? Now, the Bible does much in a way tell us that we have a responsibility in this, that we can do this. And so we're going to look at that. Now, here's the goal. Before I got up here this morning, I was praying this prayer. I was thinking in the Lord's Supper and about this and about this lesson. I want to be more pure. I want to be more holy. I want to grow closer to God. I want my heart to constantly be changing closer to him. And my prayer was that this would affect some in the congregation to do the same. Hopefully every one of us that will be committed to this. I want my heart to continually change. We listen to the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, verse 8. He says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I want that. I want a pure heart. Paul preached to Timothy and he said, the aim of our charge is love that issues. I want this love right here that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. I want all of that. I want that sincere faith. I want to be honest. I want to have a good conscience to stand before God, having my sins washed away. And I want a pure heart so that the things that I do and the direction I go and the thoughts that I have are right, that they are clean. They are according to God's word and that they are cleansed by his word and that they're all founded on the love of which God has given us. God knows the hearts of everyone. And this morning, we can't sit here and say that I can hide my heart. There are things within my heart that, you know, other people don't know them. They won't see them. Then I'm fine. God knows what's in our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows the things that we allow to go from a temptation to turn into a fantasy. That pride that can be manifested there, the lust, the passion, the selfish ambition, the jealousy, the resentment and anger, all of that that can be manifested, the evil that can be present in our hearts. God knows it. He sees it. And I hope that he'll cleanse it, take it away. And the scriptures tell us how. We read this in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. It says, "Therefore do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and disclose the purposes of the heart." In judgment, the purposes of the heart will be there as well, being tried and weighed out. And we need Christ to cleanse us. We need a pure heart to stand before God on that day. He says, then each one will receive his commendation from God. Is your heart right? I want to think about that this morning. God knows your hearts, your thoughts, and your desires. We're going to talk about the definition of the heart in a minute. Because if you talk about the heart of a person spiritually today, a lot of people are thinking, what are you talking about? That organ that's pumping blood throughout my body. What do you mean by the heart? And a lot of people seem to have some kind of grasp of it as they continually speak about just follow your heart, just follow where you feel you should go. So most people think they have a good heart. Most people in the world, that's the way they view it. I'm a good person. I do good things. Except the standard has become me. I think I have it. When I'm the judge of me being good, that doesn't really work out very well, does it? And it seems a little biased, right? I'm the judge of what is good to me. Well, most people are going to say, I'm a good person and I do some good things, therefore I have a good heart. But I think most people feel that way. Even the most corrupt and evil people in the course of history would say, well, I think my heart is relatively right. I'm trying to accomplish things that are good, and they go along with that. But look, this is what the heart is. The heart is the place of emotion. It's a place of sorrow, and the Bible tells us about that. John 16 and verse 6, as Jesus is talking to his apostles about their sorrow and their heart. And Romans 9 and verse 2, also Paul giving a description there, the sorrow that's in the heart. The idea of breaking one's heart comes from the Bible. It originates from Scripture. It's not an idiom that our society has come up with. This is from the Bible. The heart being broken. Paul describes it right there in the book of Acts. People reason from the heart. So sometimes a lot of people will say, well, most of my motivations, things that I do, are almost always emotional, or maybe they perceive that. And others will say, well, mostly mine is cognitive. But what we see with the heart, it is both. It is both cognitive, it's from the mind, and it is some part of your emotions. And those two need to be together in agreement with God's word. But people reason from the heart. We also see from the scriptures in Matthew chapter 5 that lust and coveting starts from the heart. And we're going to talk a lot about that this morning. The word for heart comes from the Greek word cardia. We've heard of cardiac, and you think about that. We're thinking of that spiritual heart, and the heart within us where the thoughts and emotions are that drive us. This is our concern this morning. Sin comes from the heart. The Bible makes it clear. All evil things in this world come from within people, from within their hearts and what is manifesting in them. And yet everybody is thinking, I have a good heart and I'm going to do good. There's something that doesn't make sense here, does it? Because we see a lot of evil in the world. We see it through Scripture and God's Word illuminating and showing where the evil is and where the darkness is, where the light is. Sin comes from the heart. Here's the good news. Christians can purify the heart. God can cleanse us. And that's what we want. That's what we desire. And in this new year, I hope that you think about this morning and carry it on through the week. God, make me pure. Make me whole. Show me the direction I can go. Guide me through your word, through the scriptures. Purify my heart. And that's what we need to be praying. We do need to purify our hearts. James urged the believers that he talked to. He said, stop coveting and desiring things after your own passions, James chapter 4. He says in James 4 and verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know what it's like to be double-minded? Remember in reading in Romans chapter 7, when Paul says, the thing I don't want to do, that's what I do, and the thing I do want to do, I don't do. And a lot of people see that conflict within them. And some people find that their hearts, their minds are divided, and the Bible says the answer to that is to cleanse their hearts. Notice what is also said here by James. He puts it on us as an imperative, as a Christian and a believer, not just to simply say, okay, God, I'm leaving it all up to you, but that it is me that has to put some effort into it, some faithful effort and obedience to God, that I do draw near to God, and he'll draw near to me, and that I will cleanse my hands, knowing that I'm a sinner, and I will seek to purify my heart because it's an imperative and not be double-minded. Notice the contrast there. If you're always at conflict, if you're allowing temptations in your life to take control, if you're always following those things, those temptations from your heart, there's a problem there. You're becoming double-minded, or you already are. But what is the condition of the heart? The scriptures warn us about simply saying, I'm going to follow what is within and my desires and thoughts within. This is what Jeremiah, what God says through Jeremiah, Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Evidently, our deeds, our actions come from there, my heart. What we want to think about this morning is, am I following completely with my mind, with my emotions, God? Am I dedicated and committed to him? Or am I going to allow myself to be deceived? You see, this is the passage here from Jesus where he says that all evil things do come from the heart, all the wickedness we see in this world. And Jesus says this in Mark chapter 7, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. It's not what you eat or what you put in. It says what comes out of you. And what comes out of us? Our actions, our words, the way that we manifest, the way that we behave. And he says, from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts. That's where the evil thoughts come from. Out of our heart. Sexual immorality, that is fornication. It first starts where? From within, in the heart. And notice that it's called evil. Theft, it first starts in within, coveting and jealousy, that I desire something else that is somebody else's and I want to take it. Murder, that I can't stand someone, that I hate them, and I'm resentful for them. I just want them to go away, and I'll do anything to do that. Adultery, to look after another man's wife. Coveting, to desire what is somebody else's. Wickedness, deceit, sensuality, the sexual sins and desires within that people allow just to go rampant in any kind of direction is evil. Envy, slander, pride within the heart is evil. Foolishness, to simply stay naive and to think it's okay, that it's better to be ignorant, to simply live a foolish life apart from God. All these things are evil. Jesus says all these things, these evil things come from within and they defile a person. These evil things. You have a similar description over in Matthew, but I like this one because of the detail here. You ever committed any of these sins? You ever done anything here on this list? You ever had this manifested ever in your heart? Then you know you need Christ. The Bible warns, the scriptures tell us that if we ignore God, we don't thank him, we don't honor him, that the heart becomes darkened. When I think about these things I read right here, I thank God for the church. I thank God that I can come here on Sunday morning, that I can hear God's word, we can discuss it and read together, and we can pray together, that we can recommit on Christ. There's nothing more purifying than God's word that's able to sanctify us and make us holy, to cleanse us. I thank God that the elders are leading us in the reading of scripture throughout this year. What a wonderful thing. The effect of it, just to already have read through the first 11 chapters of Genesis and all of Job, or most of Job, if you're perfectly on schedule. I couldn't help it. I went ahead and finished it. But Job, oh, that's powerful. You want to cleanse your heart? Read Job. Read through that scripture again. And look throughout Genesis. We're going to go throughout the scriptures. You want God to affect you and change you? It's not going to happen by ignoring God's word, by not paying attention during a lesson or not engaging in Bible study, by avoiding those things. It's not going to happen because my Bible gathers dust at home. It's not going to happen in those ways. I've got to commit and contemplate, read God's word, think on these things, because I don't want my heart being darkened. The Bible says your heart will be darkened if you do not honor God and you do not thank him. That's the importance of worshiping your Creator. When you don't worship him, you'll find this to be true. If you haven't already, you don't worship God and you don't think about him, you don't contemplate him, you don't read his word, you're going to find yourself drifting away from him. I want my heart to change. I want everything about me to continue to change, to glorify God and glorify Christ. So David this morning read for us from Luke chapter 6, 43 to 45 to add on to this. Does my heart need to change? You can answer that question. Yes, there are things that need to change. I can be more committed. I see the importance of following my Creator and following Christ more closely. I want to draw near to him that he draw near to me. But when I read Luke chapter 6, I have some questions that come to my mind. So I'm not going to give you observations this morning. I'm going to base some questions off of this. But if you have your Bible, look again in what Christ said in Luke 6. In Luke chapter 6, just look at verses 43. A lot of people today saying, I'm a good person, justifying themselves rather than allowing God to do that. This is what Jesus said. He says, for no good tree bears bad fruit. You got to wonder, what tree am I? Nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. You can't simply say that, well, I'm a good person, even though I do some bad things. And then he says, Christ says, for each tree is known by its fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart. Notice that. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart. That's where we want to be motivated. It's what's in our heart, our goal, our focus, what means everything to us. That treasure, what is most important, is what's going to guide us and direct us to keep us focused on Christ. He says, out of the good treasure, the heart produces good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, see, the evil person still has that something they treasure within,
that have an evil treasure, their heart produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So much there in that passage. Now look here, ask these questions. Are you producing good fruit or evil fruit? And that leads me to the second question. Who decides what is good and evil? God does. I can't simply be my own judge and set my own standard. God is the standard. I need his word, his guidance. I need the example of Christ to contemplate on those wonderful things we read in the scriptures. Number three, are the thoughts coming from your mouth good or evil? That's a good way to look at it. If there are bad things coming out of my mouth, then there's something wrong. My heart needs to change, and I need the word of God to purify. We can look across a lot of things we engage in, whether at work or whether on social media, whether we're talking about politics or about sports. Does our mind change? Does our heart change? Do we suddenly start talking in different ways? Does profanity come out of my mouth? Does filth come out of my mouth? That's a way to know whether my heart is not right. Do lies come out of my mouth? Do prideful statements come out of my mouth? Well, we need to examine the heart, and we can see it in the words that come from us, the actions that come from us. So what can we do to change the heart? Well, as we saw in the last passage, we see Jesus saying this on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6 and verse 21, we've got to have the right treasure within our heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. My goal, my life, everything about me, why I live must be God, to glorify him, to look to Christ, to allow him to change me. Then I'll have joy. Then life will be better, be more wonderful in him, because I'm committed to Christ. We also see this in the scriptures, Matthew 22. Jesus tells us to love God with all of our heart. All of it, not some of it, not part of it. In every part of our life, work to recreation, whatever we're watching on TV, however we're engaging on social media, all must demonstrate our love with every bit of our heart toward God. And the word of God, it affects change in the heart. Throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, we see this repeated. And I love Psalm 119:11. That I put your word in my heart, God, to keep me from sin. And then Romans 6:17 says, we obey the gospel how? From the heart. It starts here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 has a quote from Jeremiah 31 again about from the heart that we obey God because his laws are written there. So I want to change my heart. The word of God does it. And the Bible tells us how. And then Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, trust in God and lean not on your own understanding. Not lean on your own heart. The conviction and faith, your treasure must be in Christ. This is what I find, my conviction. The heart is in constant need of God's word. Always in need of it. Not because I read God's word doesn't mean that I'm going to keep temptation away. Temptation is going to be there. Well, what's going to keep me secure? What's going to purify my heart and keep me away from those things? To continually fill myself with the word of God, with scripture, with the truth. That I contemplate those things and think on them. On the other hand, I want to stay away from this. The heart that does not honor and thank God will become dark. And you'll see a difference in that in your life. You look at points in your life when you've drawn away from God, or maybe it is now, and you'll see what happened there. I quit looking at God's word. I quit contemplating and thinking about God and Christ. And I stopped honoring and thanking God, and I stopped worshiping him, and I stopped praying to him, and I drifted away from him. The scriptures have made the answer very clear that we need to go to the word, the right treasure in our heart, to love God with all of our heart. We also see this about our faith. Confession of faith comes from within. If I believe, it starts within, in the mind, within our soul, the heart. Romans 10, 8 through 10, Paul says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That's how you know the word is in your heart. You can't help talking about it. That is the word of the faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. There we see faith manifest in the heart, coming from our lips and our confession that we believe Jesus is the Lord and that he rose from the dead. In the instance of Lydia, the Lord, it says, opened her heart to pay attention, to hear the word, to hear the truth, to what was said by Paul. And I hope this morning we will open our hearts, our minds to that truth. Your heart is essential to your spiritual health, for a new year, for real change within you to last. We want that heart to continue to change. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." Again, we're not the standard. God is. Only Christ can change our hearts. So that's what we proclaim to the world. That's where we stand. That's what must be manifested in us to be able to change. Only Christ can change us. This morning, if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, do so, and do so from the heart. Having faith there and confessing that faith that Jesus is Lord, that he rose from the dead. Confessing that you repent from your sins and that you are baptized to rise up into the newness of life. I love Jesus's plea, his great invitation, and he speaks about his heart. He says this in Matthew 11:28-30. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This morning, if you're not a Christian yet, become one. Give your heart completely to Christ. If you've drifted from him, find someone to pray with you, to encourage you. We'll pray with you right now. We encourage you to come while we stand and while we sing. Please come.